We all know those days that are on the calendar that are there to either honor someone or something, to celebrate or to create awareness for. Some of those more common days on the calendar are Mother's Day, Father's Day, Teachers Appreciation Day, National Caregiver Appreciation Day. There's also those maybe less common, or shall we say a little more interesting, days that are on the calendar. You may or may not know that there's National Clean Your Refrigerator Day, or National Eat Ice Cream for Breakfast Day, National Thank a Mailman Day. So as I'm looking through the calendar and seeing all these different days on the calendar, scrolling through them, there were certain when I saw them, I thought of Father Don. Like National Eat a Slider Day. Father Don's frequently stopping at White Castle and often inviting me to go along with him, and maybe the next time May 15th rolls around, I'll go with him to White Castle. Maybe not, too. National Walk the Dog Day, or National Junk Food Day. There's many more that Father Don popped in my head when I was going through this list. I could keep going, but maybe I'll do one more. National If Pets Had Thumbs Day. What does that even mean? If pets had thumbs. And then, I began thinking, if Chardonnay had thumbs, even just one thumb, she'd actually be useful. But she has no thumbs. So the church also has these awareness days, right? We know the feasts of the saints also has week-long awareness weeks, National Marriage Week, Poverty Awareness Week, Migration and Refugee Week, or Vocations Awareness Week. This week, the church celebrates NFP Awareness Week. The Awareness Week, actually, NFP Awareness Week just ended this weekend. So if you're sitting here thinking, NFP, what the heck is NFP? Hence the reason the church has an awareness week for it. More on what NFP is in just a minute. The good news of the gospel could be summarized this way. That God, in his goodness, out of his great love, out of his kindness, has chosen to create us with one ultimate end in mind. And that one end is to share forever in God's life in heaven. But we know that the second half of that good news, and that is that God sent his Son to die for us on the cross, is there and needed because there's also bad news. And the bad news is that there's an enemy. And the enemy also has a goal. And his one goal is this: to keep you and me from the end which we were made. He wants to frustrate you. He wants to deceive you. And he wants to cause you and me to stumble. And he does this in many different ways. But we know from the Gospel of John and other places in the scriptures that he's a liar. And he whispers lies to us. He whispers lies with the end goal of keeping us from happiness, keeping us from flourishing. And the primary lie, which was first given in the garden to Adam and Eve and continues in the ear of you and me today, is this: that God isn't good. He isn't a good father. He doesn't have your best interest in mind. Especially with some of these seemingly oppressive rules. And that's one of the points that Jesus wants to make here in the gospel today. What kind of father would hand their child a scorpion when they ask for an egg? What kind of father would hand a snake when they ask for bread? No father on earth would do that, he's saying. And me, as your creator, who's wildly in love with you, who's a good father, if they wouldn't do it, certainly I'm not going to do it. He loves to be generous. Everything about God is generous. His ways are generous. His ways are for our benefit. Even in times when we just don't get it, or don't like it, or don't agree with it. Why? Because he's a father. He's a good father. I'm routinely reminded with my nieces and nephews right now, especially Ethan, who just turned, or who's almost five, he wants to eat nothing but sweets all the time. And his parents say, sometimes you need to eat real food. One of the lies that the enemy whispers in our ear is in the area of sexuality. All we have to do is take a quick look at what we find on TV, what's on the internet, and the magazine racks, and see that as a society, we have devalued sex and decreased its worth. And therefore, we've bought into the lie, and we've bought into it full force, that sex is only for pleasure. And the damaging effects of that is seen all over our society. The reason why this particular lie comes to my mind this week is because this past Wednesday marked the anniversary of a letter written by Pope Paul VI entitled Humanae Vitae. Humanae Vitae is just Latin for on human life. And Humanae Vitae simply reaffirmed what the church always taught, that contraception is an action that is contrary to the genuine love between a husband and wife. Many people wrongly think that this is only a Catholic thing. And surprised to learn that every single Christian denomination up until the year 1930 held this. Every one of the reformers, Martin Luther, Calvin, Zwingli, they all held that contraceptives was harmful to married love. Because God's design in the marital act is for one to make a total and complete gift of oneself to their beloved. And in contraception, that doesn't happen. Because we hold back from the other that which is the most amazing gift which God allows us to participate in, the gift of procreation. The humbling and wild thing that the creator of all life chose to design it, that the marital act, we become co-creators with God. Now that is not to say a couple can't look at their situation either due to finances, due to health reasons, due to a number of other just reasons, and say, and prayerfully together as a couple say, I don't think the Lord is calling us to have a child right now. I don't think the Lord's calling us to have more children. Spacing children and discerning family size is legitimate. The church isn't asking anybody to have 30 children. The church actually calls that, has a phrase for it in the documents called responsible parenting. It just encourages parents to be generous and open to life. But discerning family size is legitimate and it's not a sin. But the means by which it is done makes a difference and it matters. And that brings us back to what in the world is NFP, Awareness Week? NFP stands for Natural Family Planning. And it's an umbrella phrase that encompasses different methods that looks at when the wife is fertile. And if the couple decides at that moment that God isn't calling us right now to have a child, then for those days, they refrain from the marital act. Having conversations with a number of different couples this past week and telling them what I'm going to be preaching on, I said, Father Mark, you have to tell them the benefits of NFP. You have to tell them the benefits of what it's done for our marriage. Tell them that it's effective. That with science now, with the methods, it's 99.7% effective. Tell them that it's safe and natural for the woman. Tell them that it builds joyful marriages, the benefits that it has on their marriages. It promotes constant communication between the spouses, open dialogue. The divorce rate between couples that do practice NFP versus those that use artificial contraception, the divorce rate and the difference of those is significant. During this NFP Awareness Week, Father Don and I just want to simply to make us as a parish family aware of the beauty of God's teaching in this area. Because sadly for most of us, it's a mystery. And it's oftentimes a source of misunderstanding and misconceptions. So this is just scratching the surface here. We posted on the website in one of those blocks that we keep on a third of the way up of the website, and one of them says now NFP awareness. And on there are a number of different resources I put on there, short little YouTube videos of couples, 10 minutes. The link of the Humanae Vitae, which is a short encyclical that I've referenced. As this week, I encourage us all this week to visit those resources I've put on there and to study this issue and to give NFP a try, if for no other reason, because it's God's way, and God is a good father.